It's 20 minutes after 7 o'clock here on a Friday morning, 97.1 Wadsworth Community Radio. And in Wadsworth, again, for, I believe, Mark, the 15th celebration here, the American Blind Golf is back with the tournament here in town.
Yeah, back on the match play format that we started in 2005 and had a little hiccup with COVID and stuff. But in all actuality, it's our 20th anniversary since the first actual tournament.
Okay, the 20. Wow.
I didn't realize it's been 20 years of this awesome tournament.
The older I get, the faster that time clock goes.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
And while we're on that starting there, talk just for a second, because I know you did last night, and there was a little tribute to Bill Sadoff. We want to say good morning to Bill if he's listening, because Bill Sadoff, who was a neighbor, and of course I knew Bill. The kids grew up together. We were in the same neighborhood there for a good number of years. And Bill was very instrumental in bringing the tournament here to Wadsworth.
Absolutely. I started playing blind golf around 2001 and had some pretty quick success and was a pretty good player. And we were at a regional tournament in Raleigh. And the head of the blind golf organization said, "Would you ever want to host a regional?" And I said, "Well, yeah, we'd be honored." And he said, "Well, how about next year?" And I'm like, "Good Lord, this stuff takes a year or so." And I said, "Okay." So Bill was a member of the Wadsworth Lions, and we were talking about it. He's like, "Let's do it." And I mean, he jammed a year's worth of preparation in about 4 months. And just put on a great event. And, you know, he truly is responsible for getting the ball rolling. All of the accomplishments that we've had with the scholarships and the money we've raised never would have happened without Bill's initial input.
And, of course, Mayor Robin Laubaugh was there last night at the awards ceremony and did a proclamation for American Blind Golf. And, again, Bill was mentioned in that proclamation. So his name is in the records there forever now. So, again, that was a nice honor for Bill, too.
He was beaming as he left. Yeah. I was close enough to him. He was clutching that proclamation pretty close to him when he left. So that was a nice touch by Robin.
Again, appreciate all that. And again, look, you know, I think you mentioned, too, let's glance at the money here real quick too. You started out with a couple $1,000s that first year, and you've moved that decimal point over a couple since then, haven't you?
Sometimes I just want to fall over because I am so blessed. We're so blessed that the citizens in the area, business owners, have been so supportive of us. But it's not that we've raised this much; we've given away this much by the end of the year. We'll go over 400,000 in total donations between our 80 student scholarships and the money that we've given to Newbridge Veterans Home in the area, Greater Cleveland Fisher House, and paramount of all, Wounded Warrior Project. So,
when I know earlier when you were in the year with Doc from the American Legion, we just always like to remind everybody that, of course, American Blind Golf is not the charity. You raise money for charities, as you mentioned, with the dollars that you did bring in. And again, a lot of that, and of course, Wounded Warriors, you've partnered with them too. But other than the scholarships and things, a lot of the money that you raise goes for a lot of the equipment that kids or families or whatever need. Of course, sometimes the schools provide that during the day, but when you go home and you leave the schools, that adaptive eye equipment isn't there. So American Blind Golf helps provide that to the families, correct?
That's kind of the niche we've been able to fill. And it's hard on the families. It's expensive. You know, they have enough to deal with a child that's facing some challenges. And so, you know, we've been fortunate enough to help out a little bit.
All right, well, very good. Well, Mark, introduce the champions that we have in here this morning.
Well, here's what I did, Miss Tina. I made a little executive decision, and I wanted to give a little bit of flavor. So the folks know we do this tournament, so we've had folks from Scotland and all around the world that have come in years' time. So this year I wanted to bring a couple of our Canadian brothers in here. Different site categories that we play in. So if I'm right, I'll go left to right. So I think Bill is in the first one. Bill Phipps is David Burnett's coach. They are, David is a B1 player, absolutely no site had the pleasure, because I was the organizer, to play with them yesterday because I wanted to watch them play again. As I always say at the banquets, just the most phenomenal athletes. You know, played sports all my life. Someone with no sight whatsoever that hits a golf ball. And let me tell you, he hit some spectacular shots yesterday. So Bill and David are here. And then also, because, you know, I organize who gets to play with who, my playing partner on the first day brought Kevin McBride and his coach Liz are here. And Kevin is a B3 golfer, hits the ball a country mile. I've said to him numerous times, boy, I wish I could have played against you in my heyday. I would have had a lot of fun. But we've had a great time. And again, as I said last night, Tom, when you were there, if we don't have players, we don't have a tournament. And as crazy as folks listening might think, there's international schedules. And these people can go to a lot of different tournaments. And for them to come down here on their own dime, to help support and do what we're doing, could never pay him back for that.
I think it's absolutely amazing. You know, I struggle. I go to Top Golf and I struggle to hit a golf ball with full vision, you know. So it always blows my mind. I've gone to some of the golf scrambles, and I know that's happening later today, and just been in awe of what you're able to do. And I know Tom said it before, it's not an impairment. It's actually something that makes you just you.
Yeah, I watched a spot on CBS Sunday morning a few weeks back, and the woman had some challenges, and she was in a wheelchair, paralyzed. She actually had a baby, had twins, and they were talking about how she adapted and took care of the kids and all wonderful. And she said, people keep coming up and saying, you're such an inspiration. And it's even in our motto. And she said, I don't like that term because I'm just being a person. And I think if there's one benefit like today, when they play, all of us play with the sponsors, there'll be no discussions about really what's your impairment, how long have you had this, there'll be no talk about sight whatsoever. It'll all be about the golf. And to use those kind of corny, dumb phrases, they'll see that we're just like everybody else. We're just going and playing golf. And that, of anything, when we demonstrate what goes on, that's one of the big things that comes out of having tournaments and participating in tournaments all over the world that we've been there.
It's so interesting that you just said that, because in a world that really, I feel like, heavily focuses on just, say, diversity, for example, mm-hmm. and kind of like celebrating the uniqueness, it sounds like, you know, you want to just be considered another person, like you're mentioning.
Yeah.
You know, less focus on what some would perceive as a challenge for you, and just more on, like for this example, the game. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about sports, is it can all bring us together for that common purpose, you know?
Yeah. The older you get, the more you find out everybody has something. Right. Everybody's dealing with something. So right. I talk too much. I'm going to back out. And you guys are the pros. I want you to pick the brains of these folks. And
well, let's start over here with the coach. Talk about how, you know, what did you do before in your life or whatever, and how did you end up being a blind golf coach?
Okay, I'll start with how Dave and I met. We met in high school, actually, so we've known each other for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And Dave lost his vision when he has RP, so he lost his vision basically by age 30. And so he wasn't really a golfer before then.
But not really a golfer now.
there is that. But Dave was always active in business. And even though even though he has an impairment, it never affected him in terms of his lifestyle and his ambitions in terms of work and so on. So he became a company president and did very well. The company did very well and eventually sold to a major Canadian firm. So everything worked out well that way. And I worked with David in that company towards the end of my career, and that's when I started coaching David for golf, because we would go to corporate tournaments and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had a reasonable amount of success and a lot of fun. And when you're dealing with a golfer who is totally blind, it's very much a team effort. So we are always talking about what situation we're in on the course, you know, where we want to go, what clubs to use, and all that sort of thing. So it's, as I say, we discuss every shot, and it really is a lot of fun. The camaraderie with the rest of the players is wonderful, and it's been a terrific experience, and we're going to keep doing it as long as we possibly can.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, just tell us a little bit about your enjoyment and you know, of course, traveling, of course, to Wadsworth, and again, around the country and the continent and the world playing golf.
I think the key aspect of golf is the social element of let's say coming down to Ohio. We come from the Toronto area, and your listeners will know Toronto because of the great Blue Jays, the Maple Leafs, and the Raptors. And just rubbing that in at times.
Yeah, I was going to say
Cleveland has always been a problem.
Yeah,
the
Pittsburgh guy's over here shaking his head too, TD. Yeah.
And you come down, you meet golfers and their coaches from all around the world and all around the all around the world. Coming down here to Ohio, we meet people from Oregon and Alabama and God knows where. It's hard to remember them all. And what you find, they're just fantastic people. They just want to be out there and be themselves and enjoy the other people that they meet. You know, I go back to what Bill was saying about teamwork. I was just thinking about on the putting greens yesterday. Him and I had walked from the pin to the golf ball, and I'd have to tell Bill, you know, that goes downhill and it breaks left or right. He said, how do you know? Well, you walk it and you can feel it. And then he says to me, well, how far do you think I should play the ball to the left? You know, 9 inches, 2 feet? He's asking me. I'm the blind guy. You know, but that's where the teamwork really, really comes in. So it's super. And I think the biggest challenge for blind golfers is to find somebody like Bill or like Liz, who's coaching for Kevin. Find somebody who will be patient enough to put up with our shots that aren't as spectacular as Mark had said some of mine were yesterday.
You two sound like, you know, maybe it's because you've known each other for so very long that it's such a good match. I love you can hear it in both of your voices and stories. So what does the sport of golf give to you?
To me?
To you, David, yes. Well, what does it do for you? What does it give to you?
As Bill said, I was always active. Like, I've done downhill blind ski racing downhill on skis. I've been in international blind sailing. And wow. Ice hockey. I still play hockey as a blind defenseman. And every one of the blind sports, again, is that camaraderie, that feeling of being out there and doing what I used to do before I lost my sight. Not that I did much golfing before I lost my sight. But what does it do for me? It allows me to be what I really want to be, like everybody else. Get out there and do it. The last thing I want to do is sit on my ass on a couch. So that's how I see it.
Okay.
And I'll chime in for the listeners. David is very fit. David is an athlete. Which
Mark has eyesight problems. Remember that.
Yeah, I've been close enough to David, but David truly is an athlete. And so that he's earned all his successes.
Well, you can tell by all of the sports that he does. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to competitively ski.
All right, Tina, we'll go ahead and talk to the Pittsburgh Steeler fan over there.
I've been waiting for you.
So tell us about your involvement, how you got involved with American Blind Golf.
I am very new to this. I lost my sight in 2016 for the most part. It was a very big shock to the system. I didn't take it well. I've played golf all my life. It's a family sport in my family. I have probably played more than 2,000 to 3,000 rounds with my family over the years. I got involved with this when I heard about Ontario Blind Golf, and I played one event 2 years ago. Then, unfortunately, I broke my wrist and wasn't able to play that year, mm-hmm. the end of COVID. And last year, I got a phone call from one of the Canadian saying there's a tournament called the Nations Cup. It's held in Wadsworth, Ohio. And I'm like, where?
Right, yeah.
And we said, yeah, we'll come down. We'll try this. My brother is normally my coach. But with time restrictions and in different areas we live in, my wife decided that she said she'll come down and do this. Mm-hmm. Now, we are the totally opposite. Bill, she has never been around a golf course, never even been on a golf cart, never seen a golf club outside my golf bag. And so last year it was a learning curve, and let me tell you, it was fun. But all in all, we came down, and blind golf has given me another reason to smile every day. It is getting me through the tough times in this world. And without the people like Mark, who's put these things on, I don't think I would have as much fun in life as I do now. I look forward to this tournament, and it's only my second year.
And I know we've been
is
doing.
Is Liz in the studio? Yeah.
She's hiding.
Yeah, she's hiding. Yeah, yeah.
She's hiding.
Augie's little friend. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead,
okay, Tina. Liz, I just wanted to say, you know, since Kevin is your husband, and this is just me speaking, maybe hypothetically, okay, if I were my husband's coach and he maybe just was rubbing me the wrong way or upsetting me, I might have him lose the tournament. Yeah, honey, hard right, hard right.
We see a lot of trees. We do see a lot of trees.
Well, I think it's super sweet that you stepped up and
thank
said,
you.
You know what, I'll do this with you. Is it something that you enjoy, and do you more or less help him win, or are you kind of like, well, let's have some fun with this?
We definitely come to win.
We don't, but the attempt is there. But yeah, no, Liz has picked it up, and what she started with is much more active than what she had in the beginning. Eventually, I'll get her to help me read putts and stuff like that. But right now, it's watch my ball, line me up, and get me to the next shot. That's it. Yeah. And I don't want her to learn more and get frustrated with me. It's simply she is there to help me, and we'll go further later on.
And I believe, Lynn, you run a daycare center?
I teach preschool.
Teach preschool. Okay, mm-hmm. So
it's
again.
Pretty much the same thing.
Another child.
You're used to this.
There you go. Well, you know, the one thing that, and again, I won't even apologize because I never get through the story, but a couple of years ago, you know, you talked about how the, you know, the blindness hitting you in 2016 affected you. You know, a few years back, Mark, one of the golfers that we're in, just offered a perspective here that, I mean, it just makes you look at life. You know, he stood in here and he said,
"I did." Brian Oglesby.
And he stood there and he said, "I didn't realize that my eyesight was my handicap." He said, because after, he said, the things that I have done for other people and with my life after I lost my eyesight, that's when my life started. And I will tell you what, I can never get through that story. To be in the room with him talking like that, I mean, that was absolutely amazing.
That's such a perspective, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And I mean, that really is just amazing. So I just... just always, I mean, some of the stories and everything that we have here over the years with, of course, the Wounded Warriors that are in. I know Devin's going to be in later on today. And again, just the inspiration there. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what everyone's been able to accomplish.
There have golfers I've met through the years. You know, Jack Hansen that's here has his own Edward Jones firm. in the greater Kansas City area. Jack is totally blind. You know, the business accomplishments of David. You know, Brian Oglesby teaches regular high school social studies in Georgia. The things that some of the folks I meet that have accomplished are, you know, I'm not saying inspirational. That's not, I don't like that. But I mean, people, there are challenges of all kinds in life. And as you know, Kevin's talking, it's pretty damn tough the first years. And so eventually, you know, you get hit over the head enough. It's like, all right, I'm going to deal with that and keep going.
Well, and again, you know, with the adaptive technology that you help the kids and the families with, I mean, it's no different. I mean, we're all, you know, 5-6 foot tall or whatever. Well, if that doorknob was 8 foot in the air, we'd all be handicapped getting out of the room. So by having something along those lines to help, all of a sudden, everybody can open those doors. And it's along that same line to where all you're doing is you're just dropping the doorknob so everybody can reach it. Go ahead, Tina.
Well, I've been thinking about something you said, Mark. And I know you say you don't like the word then inspired, but I happen to love that word. And I happen to love when people inspire me. And I don't want to disrespect you or any of the players in there, but I certainly find your perspectives inspiring. And I really could connect with you, Kevin, when you said when the vision impairment happened for you in 2016, how you didn't take it well. And I am in a different situation right now, nothing to do with vision, but the health of my mom. And I am not taking it well. And I guess I wondered if any of you had just some perspective shift for anyone listening who has something hard going on, that maybe you could just encourage them.
Well, the only thing I can say is the only thing that's keeping me here, it's not the golf, it's the people at these tournaments. We regularly meet some people that are truly amazing. I played with a young lady from, and I say young because I'm going to be respectful, from Ireland last year. I played with a gentleman from Alabama whose name is Jojo McCarron, and I honor him every time I see him. He is truly one of the most down-to-earth human beings with the same disease as me, and talking to him and learning about his life keeps me going. And it's not the golf, it's everything after the golf. That's why I come here.
I would say that as much as you might want to, just don't give up. Keep going.
Yeah. That's so good. So good.
I'll chime in. I always end up monopolizing things, but if you ask my daughters, one of my, I'm a person of sayings. I love history and sayings all the time. But one of the things that's guided me, you know, everybody thinks I'm, you know, this upbeat and nice guy, and man, how's he do it? And he keeps going and he runs the tournament. There are days, and the phrase I will use, that I'm down at the bottom of the well. I'm at the bottom of the well. But for whatever reason in life, I don't stay there that long anymore. And eventually you hit bottom and you kick back up to the surface. And another thing I didn't mention to the group last night, but I mean, my girls, Kevin, Liz, David, they were 7, 9 years old when they grew up with this. Mm-hmm. And you guys must have modeled something right, you know? Jamie's a master's in social work, hospice social worker. Lauren's a nurse. Didn't get that from me. But, I mean, I don't know if that helps, Tina. Shoot, you can only stay down at the bottom so long, and then it's like, hey, it's not so bad. when you get that perspective again.
You know, Mark, you talk about that bottom of the well. It's almost like all the issues or the problems, you literally use those to step on to crawl out of the well. It's like the old story where they were burying the donkey that couldn't get out of the well. Well, they started throwing dirt in there, and he started stepping on the dirt. Well, he just walked right out with what he thought was the problem. I mean, I know it sounds corny, but yet here we are.
Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for that. I appreciate it very, very much. And I'm sure that we have listeners who are like, thank you. You know, maybe it's helping them get that one step up from the bottom today. Let's talk about today for the tournament. You have the golf scramble. And I wondered if, you know, someone listening is like, hey, I'd like to come check it out. Are they able to do that?
If they'd like to come out, you know, Michael and Lisa have a nice new deck on the back of Pine Valley where they could get a drink, get a beverage, a little food or something. They could sit on the patio and watch us play. What we do is put either a warrior or one of the blind and vision impaired golfers in each of the groups so they can see them coming around and teeing off. And as we're playing, a lot of times Randy and I will just say, okay, whoever's in our group, you're coaching Mark on this hole. So you've seen how I do it, you do it. And so there's just a lot of camaraderie, and they'll get to see some people, you know, hit some shots if they'd like to. So awesome. We are completely full, overflow now. Mm-hmm. So we're making it work today.
And the tee off for the scramble is what, 145?
145. It's late today, but it's all because it's more convenient for the golf course, and they are so good to us, we'll do anything they want us to do.
When again, you know, I know we mentioned last night, and I went up and talked to him, Tina. Of course, I see Chris Steele, and you know Chris. Chris is the manager out there with Mike and Lisa Reynolds at Pine Valley. Chris has been in the studio several times with us when he was going through high school. Chris is a bowler. Ooh. Chris could be on the PGA bowling tournament, and Chris had won state, and I mean has several 300 games under his belt. And so Chris is an athlete in his own. And again, so yeah, Chris is sat across the table from us in here with George Steele, the coach too. So yeah, so we'll see Chris out there. But again, also have to give a shout out and thank along with Chris, you know, Mike and Lisa Reynolds for what they have done with that course and the tournament over the last couple of years.
They are wonderful people. I know their daughter, and they're so sweet. Our kids played on the same basketball team, and so I got to see them at several of the games, and what wonderful people.
Yeah. Very nice to us.
All right. Well, gentlemen and ladies, thanks again for joining us here this morning. We really do appreciate it. And again, at Pine Valley at any time, you know, 145 again is the tee off if you want to meet and talk to see some of the golfers before they head out to the course. But other than that, all afternoon at Pine Valley. So again, thanks again. And thanks for coming. I really, really appreciate being part of our little part of the tournament, our little corner here, and always enjoy coming out and meeting everybody and taking pictures and everything else. So thanks again.
Well, thanks to the both of you once again. And Tina, keep kicking up off the bottom.
You got it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again. It is 48 minutes after 7 o'clock here on 97.1 Wadsworth Community Radio.